tired of it yet. Tired of the crickets, folks? I am. I've been tired for a long time now.
Interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 469.
Really amazing to watch how people just confuse a whole lot of simple stuff and how it has been brought to us to make things to be apparently not understandable in simple ways. Before I forget, I lost 2 weeks, 2 days, yeah, 2 weeks this week, this day, 2 days this week, and I'm behind on the emails. I'm going to be behind the detail-y thing here. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to respond to here, trying to keep things organized and straight for people, not trying to overcomplicate things. Has become more of a job. It takes a lot longer to respond to people. So I am way behind on my emails, like I happened to me here a year ago or so. It just goes through a cycle. So we're in that cycle. Appreciate anybody who's got an email to me and I haven't responded. Please appreciate your patience. And as we move this thing through, but yeah, I lost 2 days this week. Friday, it came to my mind that it was Friday and I was thinking it was only Wednesday. So not sure what's causing all that, but here we are, rolling up the sleeves, trying to get stuff done. It's working faster and faster and getting farther and farther behind. And anyway, we're behind the woodshed, aren't we? Getting behind, always behind. Hopefully you are, as you bring out the weapons of what we can find on the objective basis, that law, that objective standard all these officials were supposed to follow, and you use that to protect yourself. And to the extent that you need to, it's just copy and paste. You just have to find it. The big problem seems to be finding stuff. And it's not, in a way, not that hard. I don't know why I can find stuff. I just put in the terms that I'm looking for, and I just track down. So same thing I do on the studying, like what we're going to get into here today. More last week was more on the fraud of the Ukraine, the cover it's making for the ability to push in the global agenda. This week we're going to go back to the other thing that begins it from last year and point out some things. And so we got to just, all I'm offering is this information in order for you to see, don't be confused by the false front spaghetti western and get to what you got to get to. And I guess it's interesting to me, and I may not understand this fully correctly. Email's a little bit hard for me to get sometimes, the interpretation, but we're going to get into some things today. I've been criticized, apparently. No one talks to me, but that's okay. Criticism is fine. I wish I could hear it so we could work through any problems, but criticism is made of my material, my work. You know, I'm pointing out to things that are going on. I'm criticized for those findings, if you will. I don't know why that would be a criticism, but then in the future, while denying what I'm saying, bringing back proof of what I've been saying through other people. It is pretty interesting. I don't know why that happens. But I'm offering you as a way to see maybe things that maybe not are so apparent. How to cut through the nonsense. All I go through here in a short form is to show you how quickly it is to cut through the deception. And I believe that I do that, at least to some extent, and to try, really, to pare it away from what we have to deal with. What we have to deal with in getting to the point of protecting ourselves. I'm always about, I don't know why, I keep focusing on, we're just protecting ourselves from trespassers in the world. And they're criminal trespassers. And I don't know what to do about those folks. And it depends on what your belief system is, but I've been told in a book that this is a world that's the domination and dominion of is not in us. Then you look around and you can't help but see the signs of it if you're open to that. Whether or not that's the acting part in the moment is a whole different question. But the point is do you recognize the danger in front of you? Are you going to step out in front of that truck? And that's the only thing I'm finding. People are willing to think that they're carrying an umbrella of paperwork and that that's going to keep them from being run over by a truck. And I'm suggesting maybe don't get in the road. Maybe don't even stand near next to it if you don't have to. The careening truck. And so people are confused by this somehow. I've been working hard for over a decade trying to figure out how to get the word out. I know I start talking kind of fast. To me, it's just I just need to get the information out. Listening to myself here an hour ago. I don't remember now what the broadcast was. What was that about? Darn it, what was I thinking about? I think, oh, it was explaining how the thing's done, how it's done with this COVID. That's not just about COVID. Just go to the law, you find the basis, and you find out the officials haven't done it. I explained in there how the PCR was about. It's not about the PCR, it's about understanding how deceptions work. It is about the PCR in a way because it's irrelevant, even though because they're using it against you. But it's not about that. It's about understanding what's underneath it. Like I told somebody in an email, I've told you this before. I may talk about subject matter. I'm talking about the principles underlying. I'm not actually talking about what I'm talking about. And so I don't know how to convey that. I don't know what to say. These are just the things I talk about are just giving us the focus on a topic. What I'm responding through is those principles that we should have known and use, and we don't know, and that's one of the problems. That's not a judgment. That's not a statement of you're stupid. You're ignorant. Well, we are ignorant, and that was planned. And that's not an excuse. And we're so controlled and so occupied as a people, and we're preoccupied, that when we go to try and get a remedy and we don't find it, we just give up and we say, oh, the system's not there. That's the oppressor. And until enough of us come together and really understand what that oppression is and how we need to band together mutually to defend ourselves against it and how to get at it, how to cut through the smokescreen that they put up, we're going to be in a lot of trouble for a long time. That's not my rule. I wish it was different. We're told that we don't have dominion over this place, but we have a control because we have a choice. And we all chose at this point to allow this nonsense, science and technology, to come over on us, the technocrats, and do have their way with us by myriad ways, whether that's the Ukraine war problem, whether that's COVID fraud, whether that was the pigs fly flu, whether that's any number of other problems they bring up, insecurities they'll call them, food, housing, all that stuff. All that stuff sits there. All the legislation was predated, I told you, to come and bring us in and bring on the problem. We didn't realize at the time. Some of us looking in have seen that. That what they brought in 1992, I think it was, with the Biodiversity Convention, inside there was the technology for this gene GMO technology that would be global. They're using it right now. In fact, it was what scientists thought that they could use. And I'm going to go back to I asked about this guy a while back. Don't have any information. Don't have the time to go check it. So I've got to wait till it comes to the notice to me of what's going on. In China, somebody used CRISPR, gene editing technology, the technology that they can't answer to all the unintended consequences. The guy in China made gene editing and made two babies. Actually, I think they made three. Well, what happened to that? He got collected up. There was condemnation, got collected up. And now we find out he got released from prison. So maybe China doesn't have a system of law. They have their system of law, like everybody else, that's probably as corrupt. In this case, I'm not so sure whether it was or not, but the guy was in jail, apparently. He was at home arrest, as we hear in this story. I just want to return the creator of the CRISPR babies, his CRISPR babies, has been released from Chinese prison. The existence of the CRISPR baby project was uncovered by an MIT Technology Review, which is where I'm getting the article, on the eve of an international genome editing summit in Hong Kong held in November 2018. Remember, they go back to the Biodiversity Convention. And it says that the sharing, it shall be the rule that there's the sharing of a genome of genetic engineering and genetic information across the world. That's the cover for this military thing that they end up seeing going everywhere. That's where all these biolabs, the United States got its right, if you will, the right to go do the biolabs, and why you heard China in Wuhan telegraph ahead of time what the sequence was, the synthetic sequence of the protein string that all labs could then create if they wanted. Notwithstanding, it was already in the patent. You just had to go read what it was. And that's what we're going to kind of touch on today because some new information is coming out. And I told you 2 years ago that if we didn't shut it down immediately, if people didn't rise up and shut it down, as I was in part, maybe by the way I was suggesting, and that's still viable, or that it wouldn't be shut down, as we see in the Tulis case, not a 15-day remedy lasting over 500 days, maybe going on 600 by now. Or you sue the problem, the Bar Association obstructs justice under the color of doing justice. I said after about 2 years, we're going to start to see people, their findings are going to come out. Well, this week, I think it started, one of the parts of the findings is, and that's what we're going to, why I'm going to touch this. And we start here, the news comes out that the CRISPR baby scientist was released from jail. So we see he's released from jail. I want you to go into this article to find near the end. It's interesting how they continue the problem. They condemn this scientist for what they did, the government did. But then there's a call for now putting on a lifelong check to see whether or not the experiment, what the experiment did. In other words, we're going to continue that experiment. So this was a cover. They send the overt threat to don't do this, and then they go ahead and then they show that they're going to continue to watch these babies for the unintended consequences. So this isn't over. The guy was a crash test dummy. The system wants what they want. They want people modified. They're going to get it. I don't know what else to say. They're going to get it, not because I say, because none of us stopped the condition that COVID offered to us. We still can. It's very close, and we can still do it because of some of the news that hit me in the emails and in what I found, which led on to a discussion. I think the first email I got was a link to a world premiere Watch the Water full movie title, but I've got to caution us here. I get this information, I check it through, and this is a guy, Stu Peters, that I'm a little bit skeptical of in some regards, a lot of regards. But that again, it's this one thing, he'll bring things forward, and you got to pay attention to, you know, follow the bouncing ball. Don't worry, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, I guess I can say. You got to be very careful. I don't know who these people are out in the world that are celebrity, have lots of following. I know they don't come to United, they don't come behind the woodshed. They don't empower themselves with some of the stuff I say, nor do they try to bring why what I'm saying, show objectively why what I'm saying wouldn't help them. But this is a train of study that went on that's coming out, and it's being potentially, it's being challenged as well. And I have to challenge it to this extent. This first link is titled Watch the Water. That was a documentary that was on. I don't agree that we need to watch the water. That is the cover. But inside this, there are truths. Now, I haven't watched the Watch the Water documentary. I'm watching an interview. And this is the important part, because in these interviews, now someone who I dismissed a bit, Dr. Artis, I dismissed him early on because he was coming on explaining a fear and then had a product to sell. Well, now he's come on and now showing us how he came to his conclusions that are relatively consistent with what I told you I found. And I want that to be known. And this time he's not promoting a product. So something has shifted. He's done a research since I was given an email to look at a meeting that he had, a seminar that he had. And he's come to a whole lot more information that I think is what you need to see, notwithstanding any cover that this title says, Watch the Water. I'm not so sure that you can justify this statement that your water, this is what they're talking about here, is your drinking water has snake venom in it, and that's what's causing the COVID. I don't think you can go there. I don't think that there's going to be a way that you even can prove it. Not the way they're saying. That's not what I want to focus on. Not so much on the drinking water part, but don't throw the baby out with the drinking water. That they're talking about venom. And I want you to always remember, you have to really consider, really hold your mind true to this. There is no the virus. You'll hear everybody talking about the virus this, and they'll reference to the virus. Relative to what they claimed is COVID-19, there is no the virus. And I will challenge anyone to bring me the test that they could know that there is the virus. And the trick, it's a parlor trick, as I mentioned to somebody, as I've said on air, it's a parlor trick what's going on. They use so-called science. They use, remember, the pre-jab to post-jab epidemiology, the so-called science that they're talking about, the cooking of the books that they can do. Use the complications of flu and death by seasonal influenza to cook the books and produce the fear of something happening. And then I told you, watch out, because that PCR test can't test for the flu. It tests for immune response. But when the jab starts, the PCR can identify the specific protein sequence within the jabs in the population. And so you have to keep track of this on this thing. And what I put the point and the importance about what comes out to me initially was the Stu Peters really is a long-term study by other people. And I want to start from where I was focused on this by emails this week. And I want to track back on through because it's something I think we need to pay attention to. If there is no the virus, you have to understand there is no natural organism. And I've told you over and over, this is a chemical weapon. I've explained all this in past broadcasts. You know, who is that guy behind the woodshed? I'm just a guy that reads patents. I'm just the guy that did some basic education to myself to figure out what all this stuff is. I'm nobody more than that. Nobody more than any one of you can do. And why I present all this information is for you to go do that so you keep yourself protected with knowledge, at least the basics, to be able to keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the pee that they're bouncing around in a cup that doesn't exist. Look through the cup. You start looking through the deception. And ultimately, you know there's no pee in that cup. Then you might want to look around the internet and find an article that has that title. The creator of the CRISPR babies has been released from prison, and yet at the end of the story, they're still going to check those babies to watch what the damage that was done or the consequences that they didn't know about in editing people. Now, this goes on, and if you go on and down that track at editing people, they'll call humans the animals now that are going to be also proprietary, the coding in them. And that they will be functioning in how they were pre-planned. Look through the fact that they may be helping babyless families. This guy wanted to stop HIV. Isn't that interesting and considerate of what's going on now? You think you have gene treatment that can fix HIV, but that was a fraud. That's another cover. All started by this Fauci dude. Well, he was ahead of these organizations that were developed into this back in the 80s, the early 80s. And so, we're watching an operation going on. What they're trying to do with this world premiere that I think is a little bit over the top, watch the water, and they're trying to get you to believe it's in your water. It doesn't answer to where all the water wasn't. And that the chemicals don't last in the water that long, and that the testing wouldn't necessarily prove anything if they're putting it in the water that anybody has it, that it's not going to last there, and it's not how the better answer is than the parlor trick that they use the flu numbers to cause fear to get everybody to start getting the jab, which was the pandemic of the chemical weapon attack. And then the protocol that the government advises that you hear in this premiere, it's just an interview. The link I'm sending you is an interview. It's not the premiere. I haven't seen the documentary. Just stating the fact that they think it's in the water. I guess you can't deny it, but I wouldn't say that that would be the way that the vector would happen. And you need to go back and read and understand. And I've talked about the Canuckistinian testing going on. It's been going on since all time. But when you understand water treatment systems and length of time and everything, it wouldn't necessarily be a very good delivery system. They're putting people in fear, getting them to choose the jab would be the most direct thing. Then getting those biological agents to mimic a biological process to synthesize what turns out to be, as I've said before, it looks to be venoms, proteins, and all they are protein strains that are analogs to venom is one way that we would see it. So you hold fast in your mind that there is no the virus for the body to respond to. You'll find quickly how quickly you can get through a lot of the discussion that becomes just surmise relative to anybody saying, well, it's got to be this or got to be that. again, just look at the result. Stop there. Understand there's no the virus where you can find patents that say it's not a biological organism that's going on. If there's no biological organism, you have no transmission naturally. You're going to have an artificial transmission system. And we have then the protocols that came up that killed people, which in fact have their roots. So when you look and you have their roots in the same protein strings that are either injected or resultant from the protocols that were given that kill people or maim them terribly. As we see here, the focus, and you're going to learn to stand to start looking at whatever the government is saying to do. Essentially, we've heard it before, do the opposite. Don't agree readily with the so-called expert because they're on a plan to put you into the problem. As you'll see, if you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you move the water, it's in the water part aside, and you look at the proofs, what's underlying the technology, the chemical weapons, how they're piecing it together, how they're studying it behind the scenes, you'll see why, when you read a headline, FDA approves Veklury, which is remdesivir, and the treatment of non-hospitalized patients at high risk of COVID-19 disease progression. You realize they're injecting people with the proteins that are going to kill or maim them. And I hope you understand when they did that, they were targeting your children. They make it okay and the only treatment to inject remdesivir, which has a protein constituent content that appears to be like venoms. And I've heard again before about focusing on snakes. I told you I came to what I think is the venom because of my looking at the transmission of some problem to the women of the male technicians that were doing the tests for this gene weapon therapy. Remember that? I talked about that. You may have read it yourself. And I asked the question, because of a natural model, you'd have to have an infection, symptoms, that are then transmitted by that theory and vector to another. How were the technicians who never came down with it and never had a symptom threatening their women at home and biologically and in the reproductive capacity, and that had to be monitored? And the thinking about that, how would you have that? I came on to the honeybee theory. The honeybee poisoning that happens between beekeepers and their wives who never see the apiary, and women that never saw the apiary, wives or friends of beekeepers, domestic friends of beekeepers, could come down with an anaphylactic shock that killed them. How is that? Well, I told you at the time, it looked to me like a chemical weapons attack. And it looks like that's holding up. And then I went, and when I finally felt comfortable, and this is a thing you'll hear in these interviews, those of us that do this research are really uncomfortable to come up with the information. You sound like a crazy guy, you know, a crazy gal. And it's dismissed, and then people hurt themselves because they dismiss valuable information. And I'm not saying I have the only information. I'm saying I have a potential that looks more plausible than what the so-called experts are saying, and I don't have a dog in the fight, that fight, and I don't have a profit to me. And for me, it's for me, whether you listen to it or not, I'm looking at it for me. What do I do? What am I looking at? This is a war. What am I looking at? Whether you believe it's a war, I believe it's a war against people. Why? I really don't know why. There's an evil out there. And you'll hear about this in these interviews with Dr. Adis. You'll hear about the symbology coming up to show that's what's going on. But the FDA approves the only solution for COVID-19 for children now. Guaranteed, it's the only thing that are going to be done. And you find that it's the component parts, when you look deeper, it is constructed or causes in the body what we can find the protein analogs to venoms. The interviews that you'll find, and I have links to number 3 and number 2 now on the Health Ranger report. Again, I'm looking at two people that are fumbling around in the dark. I don't say that Health Ranger even understands what he's looking at. He sees some of it. But he's talks like stuff is going on, and then he misinterprets. So I'm not even offering these links for you to see how two people know what they're talking about. This is still a question. What you need to see is the proofs that tie the concept of envenomation to this condition. And understand, I don't remember now when it was. Was it September or something of last year? I finally felt bold enough, finally. Like, it took a while to say there is no test early on. Well, it took an even longer while to say, wait a minute, we may be looking at a venom attack. And I put, there's, see, one of the hashtags in one of the broadcasts was spike envenomation. I put that as a headline. Spike envenomation. And I used, because of the resultant of this thing, the resultant harms, I went and I synthesized roughly the results from these, in particular looking at blood clotting and blood bleeding out. That was also women bleeding out and then blood clotting we heard. And what came to my, the synthesis came down to what I found, one venom, one animal, one critter that has both. And that was that giant silkworm out of the South America. So I also said I wasn't so sure that it's any particular protein because it can be synthesized. What you'll hear is this is potentially just two snake proteins. What you also need to listen for through these different links I hope you listen to is that they ultimately say there are 19 protein strings that are in the jabs or peptides that are created or relied upon. Interestingly enough, COVID-19, it wasn't maybe just a year. Also remember, Moderna was found months and months ago, their patent from 2018, to have 19 different protein strings for their vaccine. And so, those protein strings can be shown to be venom analogs. They're synthetic. Everyone's looking for the how many vipers and cobras you have to milk in order to get this stuff. How many horses have to go make whatever. You're not looking at a natural thing. You're looking at a lab making the protein strings. They can make as much as they want. And so, get past the fact there's no virus. There's no the virus. They can talk. Everyone talks about the virus. I talked with Gerald Salino. I said, just research trend. There's a trend. Research this. Trend research. This. But there's no the virus. It's a synthetic analog. It's a venom. It's a chemical weapon. No one's mentioning chemical weapon. They want to talk about biological weapon. This is a specific chemical weapon. Why do I say that? Because it's a chemical weapon. Why is that important? Because a chemical weapon cannot have an analog of, it can't have a benefit in the dual use requirement under Title 50. Now you're going to see, and you're watching, if you look carefully, all of a sudden there's lots of studies being done that tries to show this gene therapy, these jabs, have a benefit. And there's, oh, it cures the other fraud, HIV. Oh, it attacks anything. I mean, it cures the common cold. It does that. See, that's the fraud to try and bring a benefit to this chemical weapon. None of it's provable, but they need to say it and get it on the record. And so I came from this by looking at, well, how is it spread from the technicians to their women friends without a symptom? The only thing I could see that it was a chemical weapon, like a bee venom, in the model of the anaphylactic wife dying because the husband's bee suit was in a room that she visited all the time and she finally succumbed. It's thought that beekeepers may get stung a lot and become immune. No, it doesn't necessarily happen that way. They actually become, goes the opposite way. They can actually become, it's death to them as well. You get too much if your body can't handle it. Interestingly, when we go through this and you look at one of the studies I'll give you, you see that bee venom is in the list of venoms, including the snakes and including other things. There's all kinds of animals with venoms. They do all kinds of different things. I just synthesized down the silkworm because it can do, its venoms can do both. Bleed you and blood clot you. It's not the only thing they do. It also can do the neurological toxicology damage. But these aren't natural. These are synthesized. That's why they can patent them. Look for that. This is all patented stuff. This is not natural. It doesn't come from nature, even though they point to a natural example. And so I want, like I'm just sitting here, the venom consideration is now up front. It's being washed over as some sort of a psyop. I want you to, you hear this coming, if you hear it, throw aside, don't disregard it, but throw aside that it's in your water system and look at the delivery system that's actually gone on, which is your jab. The potential for the body to make the venom and then shed it as the vector. It's unnatural. There's no biology. It's all synthesized, meaning man-made. As I wrote also to Salente, I think it was. It's man-made. It means that it's not natural. You have someone to go arrest is the other reason why we focus on that. And within the videos that you'll find, in particular after watching the part three, Dr. Artis reveals the bombshell origins of COVID, mRNA vaccines and treatments. He either mentions this company called Orphorex. receives Welcome Trust Award to advance clinical development in snakebite treatment. He shows in the proof that there's companies getting money through snakebite, venom, snakebite treatments. Dr. Artis observes, that there was two crises going on when COVID was running. The other was snakebite. I don't know about you, like he says, I don't know about how many snakebite people there were, that it became an epidemic of crisis proportions, but this is where a lot of money was spent. Yeah, you can see why was it set up like that, so that they can bring this fraudulent technology through a use. The dual use needs to be solved at all times in Title 50. And if they can come through and say that this is a snakebite treatment, because what they say, it's like an anti-allergen problem here when they do this as well, that they can then put that beneficial use that removes the chemical weapon prohibition liability. And so I found the article he talks about, just so you don't have to search it out. You can just click on it from the broadcaster. When I get there, you can see what he's talking about. There's one proof of what he's showing you exists, so you don't have to have that as a question. You can go through and check all the others. Again, I don't have that much time on the broadcast to go through the proof with you. He does it. You should do it. And to find out what the government is willing to do against you, and in relation to why even Dr. Artis finally stepped up with his proof, which he was been a little bit apprehensive to do, was that when he found out what the FDA did to allow remdesivir as the sole protocol to be injected in your little ones, he realized it was an attack on your little ones. And that's why it sounds like he came out with this. And you'll see the fact of what's going on in the papers. Don't get lost in the hype. Follow the documents. I studied that I did to qualify this as well. I wanted to find out if what they talk about SPLA2s are the ACE receptor enzymes, and sure enough, a secreted polyphospholipase A2 for animal venoms in pain and analgesia came up. They list in this one, bee venom comes up, they list what these things can do. You'll find remember the phospholipids are integral with this. This is an A2 receptor molecule. This is the receptor they're talking about. This is the thing that whichever remedy you might try interferes with, either by kicking out plugging the receptor to not allow this venom lipid to attach in the first stage, or another type of deconstruction, another type of molecule that deconstructs the synthetic Trojan horse weapon. It's something like hydrochloroquine. And why you'll hear why ivermectin doesn't really work so well after 7 days is the body transitions into a new phase. That comes up by someone else who came onto the venom idea. And I told you this would be, we just don't hear about it from all of us. We're all studying from different places. We're quiet. You know, we don't have interaction. And there's going to be a body of people working, and we're going to come out. I said 2 years, and here we are a little bit later. I'm not even quite a month. after 2 years, we're finally coming out to the more probable problem. So I've identified here a document, a study, that shows you that, again, these venoms can be used for things. They need to show this chemical weapon can be used for a beneficial use. This is only for pain and analgesia. I don't know why you would make one that would actually cause blood clotting or cause mental incapacity or as a neurotoxin. I don't know why you'd do that. There's just no connection there. But bee venom is involved. I'm just making a subtle connection to what I've talked about, how I got there. It's, again, the idea that when you are searching a path of truth, it doesn't matter what direction or interest caused you to get on your path to find the truth. But when you're done, you'll know the truth because, well, even if no one's standing there, you know the truth because you did it with integrity and fidelity. It helps when you're standing there looking into the stinking abyss that you found by traveling the truth that led you there, the inspiration that led you there, that someone else is there or someone shows up after the fact, is standing shoulder to shoulder to you. That's when you know there's a two witnesses looking at the stinking abyss. You is truth. In this case, this problem is the stinking abyss. There's lots of them. And this comes out through the links that I'm showing you, how people are finding out. I haven't talked with Dr. Artist nor Dr. Braun that now comes up, who was also on this path. Dr. Braun says, well, I don't necessarily agree with how you got there, but I agree with your findings. We're standing shoulder to shoulder. I found that interesting because he referred to it the same way I have for a long time, standing shoulder to shoulder. Like I've told you when dealing with working with, well, he did his own work. I just found consistent with mine was William Roberts. We came to the same stinking abyss regarding this sustainable development, sustainability. That's all this nonsense by different paths, but we came to this looking into the same stinking abyss, the same pit of hell. And that's truth. That's how you know it's truth. You get on your study and however you're inspired and you get to the same spot that others come to and their path is going to be different, but you still look at the same thing. That's witnessing. Two witnesses at least make a fact. And at that point, I don't care what other people's opinions are, to tell you the truth. And I'm wondering why those opinions are there and what their mental incapacities are. And it's not a judgment. It's what has been put in their way that they can't see truth. And so I did a quick study. These phospholipases, these enzymes for polyphosphate lipids, all these technical terms, are the analog components to make the analog venoms. Which are used for a particular purpose. They need a beneficial purpose so that the chemical weapon passes through the exception license under Title 50. I pointed this out over and over again. The idea of the honeybee venom model is not wrong. Dr. Artis, again, here's another title, Dr. Artis, who figured it out before another beyond Dr. Artis, in Dr. Artis having an interview with a guy he claims a doctor who found this same thing before in a Dr. Braun. Another link. You can listen to the lineage. Listen to how people got to where they came to their conclusion. Perfect their study. Don't dismiss it. Give it, like I said to the Russian idea here, notwithstanding what everyone might feel about Ukraine, give the international purpose given by the Russians weight, and you will likely not be misguided, and I don't think I have been. We don't want to be deceived. It's not like I have to give credit to Russia for doing what they're doing, but if I'm placed in the same position, then I have the reason, and I can tell you that reflection is what you need to be doing when you're facing an oppressor, or an oppression, or an oppressed potential attack, a fatal attack, then maybe you need to start putting your mind corrected into using that as an example. Moving back to here, Dr. Artis gives credit to someone who, Dr. Braun, who he finds out, they find each other, that they both came on to this venom idea. And Dr. Braun says, I didn't come the way you did, but I have to stand shoulder to shoulder with you. Same reflection of what I've been saying we do when we come through in our paths and seeing the truth. These are internal truths to the videos that wasn't talked about that I'm telling you to pay attention for. Watch how they prove out what they're talking about. And I believe that this venom, I've been telling you, no way he didn't. You won't see chemical weapon mentioned. I've been saying it's a chemical weapon. It has to be because it's novel. It's patented. It's not natural. If it was natural, it couldn't be patented. That's the Myriad case. Remember, it's all right here. We just follow the rules. Oh, I don't want to follow, we'll follow the rules. Oh, fine. You just get lost. I follow the rules that are set up and you'll come to the truth. And we come on to another video that I'd like you to listen to. Live, patents prove artist's claims of global envenomation. Serpent family connection to Fauci. I found this fascinating. So watch. Again, I'm not underwriting Stu Peters' total production. I'm saying listen for the truth. Look at the proofs that these people bring. When they start talking from opinion, push that a bit aside until you can prove it, but at least look at and prove to yourself that they're bringing the documents forward that are saying what they're saying. And I believe that a lot of those documents do. He comes up with global envenomation. Well, I don't think it was in the water they did it. They're trying to pump this in the water thing, watch the water thing. This was done a lot more subtle and a lot more clever relative to a magic act, as I've explained earlier in the broadcast. What was interesting in this, and not the entire, in fact, a lot of conjecture was made. I just kind of passed through the conjectural stuff where they talk about, I'm an expert, but here's, take my product. I look right past that. I'm looking for some evidence that I can track through, that I can perfect to qualify, even test myself, and you should too. But we get near the end of this broadcast, and they're talking about the serpent family connection to Fauci, and they point out that the serpent on the staff with the baby in the mouth of the serpent, and the serpent, in this case, representing Satan. It almost got past me, but I want you to notice something. If you go there, go look at the family crest of Fauci. I've told you that the name Fauci in Italian, by the language of his name, means jaws. The name figuratively means fall prey to. How long have I been telling you this? And what I didn't know about the crest, which I found fascinating, it almost slipped away. If you look at the crest, look at the letters on top of the crest. It spells A-B-Y-S. Stinking abyss is the only thing that came to my mind. And from the abyss is the snake that eats your children. It's a pretty quick symbology you can get to, that you will fall prey to this family and they will take you in their jaws and consume you. That's my interpretation on that. Just one. There's lots of ways you can look at the symbology, and I've got to be careful. You've got to be careful to go too far in the symbology, but it sure worked into the instantaneous view when I happened to look up at the letters. It flashed away, and my mind just went right to what I just told you. The image burned in my mind, the stinking abyss, the word abyss, only one S, but there it is. Just a fascinating correlation, if you will, connection, consistency. So start paying attention to these things. I don't really get too much into symbology. It can be deceptive. It's like why I didn't like Jordan Maxwell. Too much creativity in the words. It got people lost a bit. In fact, I think that's what part of my dealing with people. They got into all these other ideas, and we've lost the ability to stay focused. We want to bring in so many more things into the matter that are not relevant. And that's come up in conversations. I've had to say, well, and this was certain information, certain thing you've seen that may or may not be there. That has to be proven, but it's not relevant to what you need to do. You've done something else that negates, that makes all that irrelevant. We don't need to talk about it. And there'll be numbers of these things I have to pair through. Why I'm trying to, I go through this with you all. Pair through the deception, pair through all the baggage that we've heard. And I haven't heard all of it, but I've heard a lot of it. But I think that's what allows me to go through this fairly quickly. And so I don't, again, never displace my thoughts for yours. But don't disregard and critique criticize me and throw my, what I'm saying out unless you can prove it wrong. At least have what I'm saying as an option until we know. Because in some regard, really, we don't know, do we? It's proprietary. I've told you this already. We have a blind spot ourselves. It is proprietary and secret. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know the technology, really. I've had to put this stuff together for myself, and I'm feeling comfortable with what I've put together. What it does for me is it says, I have an answer against this imposition. Whether I want to look, oh, well, there's a biblical reference to it, there's a science reference to it, referencing a foundation for it, or not, one or both, either or there's a reason, rational basis for it, or whatever they want to do, the liberals want to say, you're going to save people. I have an objective basis and a solid foundation to be able to cut through all of it. And then what do? I do that so I can discharge that authority and then recharge the duty. Right? Not because I say the duty's there, because the black and white, the law, the last remaining bit of objective basis we have to rely on sits there. So this is another link here. Patents prove artists' claims of global envenomation. Go ahead and look at that. I believe what he's saying. Whether or not I believe it's constrained to two snakes, it doesn't matter to me. I've told you before, it's a chemical weapon that is a synthetic protein or peptide creation device. To me, that's enough. To me, those things cause the symptoms that we're seeing. For me, I don't have to get all professional about it. I don't need to sound like the expert for me. You may think I need it. That's up to you. That's up into what you want to dismiss. For me, I think I've got this a very solid foundation to very solidly say that this is not something I want around me. This is not something that anybody had the right to impose. And then I say, well, how do I stop that? They're claiming the expert. Well, I go right to where the law says who the expert was and how. You have to follow the communicable disease law. That's the other thing. You're not going to get away from that. I've been looking, folks. I've been looking to make it a lot easier, but I can't find it. So more links to this week is links to watch videos and put your critical thinking hat on, parse through what they're saying and go keep on the track. And I just wanted to point these out because there's two others that are talking about an envenomation condition. They didn't come to it the way I did. And so we're standing shoulder to shoulder looking at the same stinking ABYS as we see on Fauci's hereditary crest. Amazing. Just amazing. Amazing. I don't know what to say. Just how coincidental. And so what did come up, and a friend sent this again, a follow-up to the very first link I'm going to offer you, relative to getting this venom idea out, again, the water became an interesting thing. If it is in the water, which I'm not going to advocate, I can't say no. I don't have the test. There is no test in regard unless they're looking for the chemical sequence. Then PCR test can work because it looks for a particular string that is known to be novel by itself, singular, unique. That's where it does work. And I explained to you the shift in gears that the system did when it went from the flu and then shifted into the jab. And then I said, be careful. Don't dismiss the PCR now. Because that PCR does look for protein strings. And they don't need much to find them. And they are unique. If they weren't unique, they couldn't be patented. Think about this, how this works. All right, put it all together for yourself. It's pretty easy to follow. It's got a lot of noise to look through, but it still sits there till you can see right through you cut through the fog. Your eyes look pierce right through that fog. And that's, I guess, I hope I'm doing that in explaining how we look through even these interviews and parse the part that's a little bit not objective, and keep holding to what the system is saying to us, what the system is studying, how they study it. I'm offering to you when they're looking for purposes for venom, they're attempting to attach a beneficial use to something that's otherwise prohibited under Title 50 and under bioweapons and or chemical weapons. And I explained how Fauci was responding to Rand Paul, the good cop, bad cop nonsense. It all fits. But in the water world, if we want to go down that, what was also, I had to, I bust out a laugh over this, A friend sent another email after the first one over the artist talking about, or Stuart Peters talking about the, it's in the Watch the Water, was messages, Water World Day from the UN. We have a picture of a child at a public water station in El Alto, Bolivia, on their cover. Humanity's demand for water is growing. Pressure on water resources is increasing due to overuse, pollution, and climate change. Droughts and heat waves are becoming more intense and more frequent. A sea level rise is driving saltwater intrusion into coastal aquifers, and groundwater aquifers are being depleted. The press by the UN to drink water. They don't explain, lots of people don't have nice fresh water anyway, and they wouldn't be unless it was being sprayed from the sky. They wouldn't have it in their water anyway. That's a big problem behind this. But it was just almost like a joke. At the same time this is coming out, it's in the water, we're getting a reminder from the United States of World Water Day. Drink water. They also don't talk, when you look at the sea levels rising, there's no proof of that. You go find the sea level rise measurements. If you want to go to science, they have measurements. They are within the couple of micrometers. Sea level rise by driving salt water intrusion. Well, go to Israel. They have a big desalination system they're putting in to completely offer to not make that a problem. So this is just a matter of utilizing people's ignorance that we don't have real technology to solve problems try and foist upon us this very cruel joke, if it is in the water, to go drink more water from the UN, the very people that are promoting, harbor the WHO, not the Rock Group or the OWL, not even the little people at Whoville, but the World Health Organization, to advance the cause of this fraud, COVID fraud, and the killing of people globally through a program of injection of chemical weapons at warp speed. I just went through a whole lot of jurisdictions there, if you keep up with that. I know you can't do it. You're looking at who the players are and what's going on. Now, in looking at back when these links come through this week, who artist came up with this? He's now more focused. When I was dismissive of what he was doing it for, now he comes with this proof. I have to say, go read the proof now. He's another one that sees the high potential about this envenomation condition. Then he responds with an identification of someone else, a Dr. Braun, that found this. And I'm looking at, this is happening back in May, in 2020 and then 2021. And I'm thinking, at the time I'm saying, 2 years, we're going to find people who have been working on it. Who else is working on this? Who else was back? Now that we're coming out, if you will. Now that we're coming out of our own closet about this. You know, we don't want to be called crazy, although I guess I am. It doesn't matter in a way. I came out with my line of thought and reasoning, rationale and proof. Take it or leave it. I'm taking it. I'm using it. I didn't abandon it yet. Two more witnesses come to the same stinking abyss. We stand shoulder to shoulder, but different paths. I wanted to know, well, who else was talking about it? Up in the finding out, going back, how far back did these people start to get onto this idea? I find this gentleman called Professor Francis Boyle. And he says, Fauci is guilty of violating my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. And this was done, I think, this is off, I have the link, it's off the internet, YouTube, but I think this may have been the one he did with InfoWars, Alex Jones. Back in May 3rd of 2020, he's looking at this as a bioweapons violation. And so I wanted to, so the point is, there's people working and identifying on substantial things, not just opinions. Here's another guy that authored the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act, which puts criminal liability and culpability for the creation of biological weapons or chemical weapons. All right? So you think, oh, wow, this is not just Title 50. Now, it took someone to make a law to criminalize what you see the prohibition in Title 50 is. And to qualify, I looked at that, I go, wow, okay, back in when I was talking about it, he was talking about, he's the author of the law. He knows the intention. He pointed me to a law. I started to look it over, and I'm wanting to qualify in my mind, is it actually part of the Title 50 by its liabilities? And in fact, when you read in here, you'll find that it has the get out of free card in a way. I don't know if he knows that. He had to put it in anyway, but I don't know if he knows that because he didn't talk about it. He's a professor. He's also says all the time he's an attorney, which bothers me a bit because if he's an attorney, he should be able to write the complaint that moves this thing forward to show that it's a chemical weapon, moves this thing forward that no jurisdiction in the world ever isolated the biological infectious agent, could only find a chemical weapon, and they would do it once they got this chemical weapon inserted into the population after the jab started. Because they could test for that protein string, which could be at least 19 of the most potent ones that we see in the Moderna vaccine in 2018, is identified by Dr. Artis as being the most used ones. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of these venoms, but there's only a few that are now doing what the results are, which I focused on, isn't cobra venom. It's just that little, well, giant silkworm venom, the spiky worm down in South America that will kill you. And I referenced a case of a woman who had both bleeding and blood clotting because she stepped on five of them little things in a forest. But we see here in the prohibitions with respect to biological weapons, we see the savings provision unless it is not reasonably justified by a prophylactic, protective, bona fide research or other peaceful purpose. If you can't do that, then you shall be fined under the title, imprisoned not for more than 10 years or both. And it goes on and is an enhancement going on, but you see right here, this statement, unless someone can reasonably justify its prophylactic, protective, or bona fide research or other peaceful purpose use, it is prohibited. That is the exemption, the exception under Title 50. That's what Fauci, fall prey to, into the jaws, the child into the jaws of Fauci, is telling Rand Paul when I identified for you the answer to Rand Paul was that immediately two beneficial uses he claimed, which can't be proven, but they're now on the record and Rand Paul didn't challenge that. Is avoiding this criminal statute right here that Professor Francis Boyle was saying back in May to Alex Jones, who didn't step up and actually bring this forward to anybody, just let you know about it and kind of moves on to the next shiny thing. And this is my irritation about all these celebritudes out there that have tons and tons of people watching and focus everybody's mind on just watching to the next shiny thing and never, never taking the thing to task at all. Or pressing people to go to task, as I try to do. It offends people, I guess. Oh, let someone else do it on top of that. But if I'm asking anybody to do something and they get offended somehow, or they have the inspiration and then they find out it's a little bit tougher than just making the statements I say on the air. There's a whole lot more behind it. But that doesn't stop the fact that we need to address a lot of this. We need to understand what can potentially be there. If I can foundationally speak in response to some official claiming that this is safe and effective, I get to ask like I did on the Twitter last night. You haven't fully disclosed what it's safe for whom and for what purpose are you doing this? Safe and effective for what? It's safe for Harma to do it by their immunity and very effective for bringing everybody into death or destruction and servitude to the medical profession and servitude to the system because now you have the mark of the beast through your protein codon? That's a wow. That's an evil genius that looks like it's right happening to us. And we can't step up and protect ourselves by saying, wait a minute, official, you never identified an infectious agent. And given these are chemical weapons, there is no infectious agent. It's a man-made chemical weapon attack. We need the military to stop it. We need the cops to arrest it. You're not looking for the virus. It doesn't exist. Oh, but how do we get sick before the injections? Well, because they used all the influenza and other sickness and comorbidities, and they just defined them as symptoms, and you all bought it. And if you didn't bought it, you didn't challenge to help others that that's what they had done. When we get the more of the truth, the venoms, how this works, the transcription, transfection, well-known epidemiologist, again, a book cooker, no less, epidemiologist, vaccines against COVID change the DNA that is passed on to offspring. He references Dr. Peter McCullough. I have problems with all these folks. The truth they're telling us, I still have problems with them. Well-renowned epidemiologist Dr. Peter McCullough has discovered a study that shows how the spike in the protein produced in experimental COVID mRNA vaccine can be passed on through cells to the future generations forever, changing human genetics. And this is just another story coming out late after I've explained to you that study that showed it can go through liver cells, I think it was, and that study shows how this is the fact. But if it's not the fact, show me different. That's your attitude. Here, if this is not the fact, show me different. But we don't even get there until you, the official, demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency, because right now we have a chemical weapons attack that's going on and killing people, and there's nobody protecting us. And while all that proof and the envenomation and the proteins that are being used and the synthesized analogs of venoms, for whatever purpose that they're utilizing those peptides and proteins for, is in this, does not reach apparently the courts. Is an astonishing thing, where we find the court reverses the ban on Biden's vaccine mandate, on Biden's venom mandate. The U.S. Appeals Court has reversed the previous ban on the president's sweeping vaccination requirement for federal workers. The Federal Appeals Court has lifted an injunction on President Joe Biden's COVID-19 vaccine venom mandate. This is a jab. It's not a vaccine. It prevents nothing. They admit to that. Can't be a prevention mitigation device. Where do I get that? I get that out of your state law. Even the Washington, D.C. law has this prevention mandate. It can't be a vaccine. The CDC can't change it that far unless the courts will allow the violation to state law control, which the United States has already given up in the International Health Agreement of 2005. We saw the reservation. I talked about it. But the court reverses the ban on a venom. I guess that part didn't reach them as they impose upon federal workers, and no federal worker listens behind the woodshed and gets behind the woodshed and gets back out there and brings the miscreants to tow. And while the United States courts reversed the ban on the Biden's vaccine mandate to allow the attack, the chemical attack on people, Italy lifts COVID-19 related state of emergency, phases out restrictions. How are we having this problem along the world? Quite the disparity in the world is really another clue of what's going on. And I don't know why this doesn't make more news. Well, I guess because of shiny things. We get to look at those and go move on and on and on. Costs of going unvaccinated in America are mounting for workers and companies. This was written in order to try and force unvaccinated people to take the venom. Even though when you look at local communicable disease law, there's no authority to do this, and the people who have work problems where they're going to get fired are not making the proper challenge that I have explained relative to the communication and record that needs to be built to say that there is nothing that the business has demonstrated as a necessity for the demands it's making. The costs are self-inflicted by fraud. This article will show you how they're going about creating a public record, if it's just public opinion, to allow the enforcement and defeat of everybody who hasn't got the venom injection yet. And I say venom, I pause. You think, are you questioning me? Give me the better proof. See, we can only win if you give me a better proof. I know it's not biological, so that's off the table. But give me a better proof of what this thing is, because we need to know that. But you see the record, the public record being made to counter everything that anybody would say in opposition. It's foregone. on a presumptive emergency, a total impossibility in law. You can't have a presumptive emergency. But that's what this whole thing runs on. And underneath that, at warp speed, they did a chemical weapons attack globally. And we're still talking about the virus that never existed. Well, maybe something existed as a virus, influenza, and they cooked the books on the influenza numbers to make it look like and spread the fear that there was some new thing in the world that just so happened to be what they were going to inject in people when they didn't study well and show themselves worthy of their own property in themselves or their rights or their choice and become victims of this by this envenomation, which really has, I haven't found a better proof, and that's my problem at this point. Show me better, and we can only win, because I don't really think, I haven't found an organic basis for any of it. It can't be if it's patented. It can't be. The cost of going unvaccinated in America amounting for workers and companies, if you look very carefully in this story, they only give one thing to the employers. That becomes their harm, which is self-inflicted. And if you know how to look at these stories with the guideline that the labor Title 29 requires, where you get that to the Labor Department, as I've said, there was three of those organizers, three requirements and duties of the employer, and there's six more following that, and that's all in the objective basis under Title 29. You see in the story, they said the only harm about all this to the employer is that vaccine hesitancy can contribute to short-staffed workplaces. But that's only because they're imposing the need of a vaccine that is not a vaccine, that they haven't demonstrated the need for, and that they have not complied with the law and the record to show it is a requirement on anyone. That everyone just presumes is something that everyone has an authority to demand. For the taxpayer in this article, it says it could mean a financial drain on programs such as Medicare, which provides health care for seniors. All self-inflicted wounds could is not actual. All presumptive. No facts to base any of this on. So if you look carefully at what these articles are doing, it's fixing public opinion contrary to those that have a choice yet to bring them all into the fold, and everyone is ignorant on how to defend themselves. And I look at these articles I've told you before, and I'm looking through what they're saying and saying, these relate to certain requirements, certain things and procedures and due process that they're talking about in here that haven't been met. And I'm not talking about vaccine hesitancy as the employer would view it for short staffing. I'm saying, well, I'm looking right through that and said, that's the only thing an employer can come up with in its list of harms, number two in the list of three. The effect is that they would be short staffed. And then I look at, say, step one. I'm not looking at this article no more. Step one is they had to produce a necessity. Well, maybe that's of their own, their short staffing is of their own cause. Yeah, self-evident. Self-evident. When you look at the article, there is no costs, but that's what they want to promote. And if you're someone who hasn't, who still is, pure blood, is that what they're calling us now? If we are, maybe we can't be because of the way this thing transmits. We don't know at all completely. We don't know if there's shedding going on. Anyway, yeah, but we're not symptomatic, and that's the other key. But is this all? Is this lit? This is the list of things that they're going on. If you match it to the list of requirements and duties of the employer relative to Title 29, and also because of the Cuticle Disease Code, this doesn't even rank as a harm. This is a fraudulent statement being promoted as a public policy consideration for consumption of an ignorant public. You don't have to be that ignorant public. I look at these stories and tell me, is that all? This is all I'm up against? Because I'm not thinking about this list. I'm thinking about the duties on the employer. All I got to do is point out that they didn't do it. They haven't even stated. Everyone I'm talking to, no one has said that their complaint by the employer was that they were being short-staffed because of someone not getting a vaccine. That isn't even on the table. There are actually zeros on the table, but I mean, this is not even one that even makes the news. To the taxpayers, that's presumptive. Let Medicare handle that. They can't because they have to rely where? They have to rely on the local communicable disease law. And unless that infectious agent has been determined for someone that has a medical report specifically, the Medicare can't be affected. Now, when you know about the list of what's required on the governmental side or the employer side, you realize what these stories are doing. And you realize how the deception is being made. And for me, it's just watching a bunch of gullible people not really interested in defending themselves. I guess giving over their authority because, well, the leaders were supposed to take care of us. So to advance this purported cause of the unvaccinated, costs mounting to workers and companies, which workers and companies are the Title 29 list right there. What the duty is on the government, on the company, not you. Once you make the challenge you find there's no record, there's really nothing else to say. Your letter ends. And you just focus on the fact they failed to make their case. Essentially, there's no record. Produce the evidence, the production of the duty. Simple. Don't have to go further. Well, everybody wants to talk about how this and how that and all this other. It's not that hard. You cite to the objective basis of the duty. As I told you, go to that law. And then you say the record doesn't show that. I don't know what to speak to. And if you retaliate against, if you hit me against, if you penalize me, that's a retaliation. You've set up your administrative case. And how they're going to advance this and make it much more easier to run the presumption, the fraud through. And one, I don't quite understand how they got validity for, but now the FDA authorizes the first COVID-19 breath test. Okay? So now you're going to do like a, now you're drunk. Now you're going to have a breathalyzer. Well, not so fast. Let's look a little bit at this. I talked a little bit about this. I didn't hit it because it was still in testing. Well, apparently it's gone through in the short time that we've been talking in the last few months, this last year or so. The FDA authorized a breathalyzer test. This is like the pregnancy test they handed everyone, said this works. The breathalyzer. And so this was sent to me by email, heads up. I didn't really look too much. I went back and looked at it. I got the link for you. We have a couple of links. And this whole thing is very interesting. If you look very carefully at what they do, it's the same parlor trick, just done in a different way by looking at supposed byproducts of an infection by a SARS-CoV-2. Well, if you listen to what they're saying, biochemical weapons, venom attack is what they're looking for. But when you look carefully at the breathalyzer test, which they claim is something 70 to 90%, maybe 91% was the number, effective, that's not 100%, that's a problem. Then they also tell you the truth. Any positive result from this breathalyzer test should be followed up by a PCR test. The same meaningless test that they've been foisting the whole entire thing on. In this case, I still don't know whether or not that's going to be valid relative to the fact they don't know, well, unless they do know you've been jabbed, the PCR test would not be definitive. If they know you're jabbed, then the PCR test might be, because they can look for what? That protein string in the particular jab injection, the venomation. And so we got to be very careful about dismissing PCR. But when you look at and go, we go on to, and I go on to from here, from the heads up, to some authorities, to see, and I go to the FDA's, I think it's the FDA website, and we look at the breathalyzer's instructions on how to do this, you find that it is very limited on who can do this, first of all. And you go through this paper, you get a link, it's 37 pages. And I went through a little bit of a discussion on an email. I'll go through it with you, because you can go quickly and see that there's a ton to see in here. It's essentially, again, the parlor. I can't see this as more than a parlor trick. That the underlying problem, and was identified by the emailer, was what are they basing their volatile organic compound list against relative to a body's response against a particular infection? That's not stated. And that's why I think you're going to find lots of limitations in this thing, and you do find that. So look very careful when you read this document over and piece it apart. I'm just going to hit the high spots here, if you will, if you please, just to get through some of this and look for what they say the limitations are. But this is a continuation of a byproducts test on gases that would become from your exhalation, They're looking for aldehydes and ketones. You got to kind of look at that too. They say it's specifically associated with SARS-CoV-2 infection. If so, they're talking about a chemical weapon because there's no natural SARS-CoV-2 infection, and there is none determined, and there is no test to determine it. So when you look at this very carefully, you start plugging in all the unknowns, the coded words, you start seeing what they're really talking about. And when you look at the coded section, there isn't even a definitive determination that can be made. It all has to, any positive has to go through to the PCR. So we see the same parlor trick being run on all this. And so what this device looks at is a volatile organic compounds, VOCs, in ketones and aldehydes in the families of those associated with SARS-CoV-2 infection, quoted right out of the document. You'll get that in the future when it's posted, so you can read it too. And then you go down to the precautions and limitations, and you look particularly at number 15. It says to take the test, do not eat, or in other words, or do tobacco. And this is interesting because when you go back to listen very carefully to the Dr. Artis' information, what he found, you find out that tobacco is an ACE2 receptor component. It loves to bind to that ACE2 receptor, the very thing that this spike venom protein, or string of proteins, or peptide creation, looks to do. It displaces and attaches itself very, very quickly and aggressively to the ACE2 receptor. That tobacco is in the test to say don't do tobacco before you take the test. And if you look at number 21, you'll see that is stating something, compounds like hydrochloroquine, which are known to disassemble this synthesis, this construction. Like we were talking about the graphene oxide substrate that was used as a framework to hang all the molecules to, which create the Trojan horse venom. And these appear to be the antidotes that they don't, in the limitations you see, don't have someone, when you do this breathalyzer, don't have them do tobacco or have these other things in their system. The doctor who is treating you is supposed to do. They're the only ones that can actually, this is not going to be for public consumption apparently either, even though if you start finding them at your local store. So look very carefully at this new breathalyzer thing. To me, it's an ongoing study of what the limitations are. You'll hear in the interviews, Dr. Artis is saying they were telling everybody, don't do tobacco, don't do hydrochloroquine, don't do this, do that. You find out these are either these are chemical compounds that deconstruct the synthesized analog, or they aggressively attach to the receptor that the venom or the phospholipid is looking for. They plug it up. And so right here we see another reference. If you didn't hear it, I didn't say it before, but I was like, here's the punchline. Go listen to what Artis says. He says, well, tobacco is one of the potentials on how you stop this. He's a chiropractor. What does he know? Well, he says he tells people to chew Nicorette gum. I don't want people, well, maybe you should have this in your medical bag. Maybe some hydroxychloroquine. Right? Because they're known in the studies, he'll tell you. One blocks the receptor that this spike protein needs, and the other disassembles the constructed synthesis, the synthesized chemical. And so that a friend of mine, he just talked, he was concerned of another friend of ours who did get the jab. You can't stop, you can tell people all kinds of stuff, they don't listen. But I said, you know what, if we look at this thing as the venom model, and even if we take snake venom, reptiles, I asked, well, does he smoke? And apparently he smoked. And I said, well, maybe he was protected because the tobacco he was smoking is prohibited by the CDC and FDA from doing diagnostic tests at any type, and also said not to be done. Remember, I think he says that the FDA or CDC was promoting the don't smoke. I'm not saying go out and smoke. Don't do that. What I'm saying is there is the antidotes happen to be chemical and there are biological receptor chemicals that are working counterindicated the spike venom envenomation possibility. The paper goes on to say, relative to, so we had the limitations, and you get down to 18 and 19, and that explains to you that the VOCs, a method of analysis, is useless. And if you didn't see that at page 2, it says this, all positive test results must be followed up with a highly sensitive SARS-CoV-2 assay to confirm the positive result. Well, there is no SARS-CoV-2 assay as an organic biological agent. Likely would be for the protein string created for a chemical weapon. Looks like here, and I say to the emailer in response, and I can tell you, because it is this parlor trick, this is a hocus-pocus tool to direct everyone in the wild under doctor's care to the meaningless but highly useful PCR. So it depends on what side you're on, how they would use this. This is, again, a tool to trawl for chemical weapons attack victims, which the follow-up PCR could find. So they just want, again, these case numbers. And the problem here is we don't know. I would say, and I believe I foundationally so, that if you have been affected by the chemical weapon, the PCR could find that specific string. The problem is they'll say that you got SARS-CoV-2 as a biological disease, communicable disease, and it's not the case. They just got evidence that you were attacked by a chemical weapon. And then I point out that page 2 also shows the test is rigged, where it says an algorithm is run to determine the VOCs are present and in what ratios in the test subject's breath that make the determinations of SARS-CoV-2, quote, detected from a presumptive positive or not detective indicating a negative result. Well, algorithm is a program. You just put in what the outcome you want. They're looking, and here's where the question came. How did they differentiate so that they could make the analysis for the algorithm? And you look at how they analyze this, and there's not necessarily, I don't see the proof that they can get it, even if they're looking as byproducts of the chemical weapon. It's not that definitive. And it's likely why that can be set up proof to fail that gets you into the PCR test, which they use as the definitive rule, but it's meaningless unless you understand and they come forward to say, we're testing for a chemical weapon or we're looking for a biological infectious agent. I'm telling you, I believe it looks like if you have the chemical weapon, the PCR can find it. If you don't, then how would you know? There's no test. Then they can't. Because the PCR can't be used for that. It'll throw a positive. You keep testing far enough, it'll throw a positive. We've been through all this. On page 34, we go back down, for those of you going to listen and follow. The positive control uses a proprietary mix of specific VOCs associated with viral, that's the SARS-CoV-2 viral infection. The negative control contains highly purified nitrogen. That cannot be a viral infection condition, so that's a lie right up front. SARS-CoV-2 is a chemical attack. They say it's proprietary, which means that they can control that outcome again. And I think that proprietary control is considerate of the original chemical weapon that they injected or they believe was modified by people's biological system being instructed to make the peptide or protein by the RNA instructed, novel RNA invented instruction set. And so again, we have an algorithm that can be programmed, then you have a control, a proprietary mixed control that's not a control. It's actually a plan. And so these are all presumptive. Everything on this is a presumptive. Nothing actually happened. Now we just presume that that's a boogeyman. And that's good enough. Well, that's not the law. And that's where I've been asking you all to protect yourself. Start asserting the law. Some of you that have, in particular David Tulis, found out really quickly that there's not the government judiciary that's going to be there to protect it, but that's not the point about that. The point is to be the voice, the big noise, that will no longer put up with it and have the record, the written record, that is that cannot be prevailed against. And so we have an interesting breathalyzer, but I went through here. I want you to go through and read it. There's a whole lot in this instruction set. all the limitations that said this is not going to do what we're saying it's going to do, but we've authorized it already, consistent with the methodology of fraud. And so I wanted to get over to, again, looking at the, and I did a quick thing, I only have a quick link for you to look at. It just brings up something I talked about before. How do we counter all these things? We talk about volatile organic compounds and the metabolites and all this. It's a hope study. I certainly can't, don't have the time. I lost 2 days. How am I going to have all the time to really get deep, deep, deep in this? But just enough to skim through the surface and notice some corollaries and some consistencies. What comes up in a lot of this and how to counter not just tobacco, not just the disassembling of the construction of the synthetic, but your fortifying your body. What came up as another thing that you don't want to take at the, in these to do to make sure this test is going to prove a positive? You don't want to interfere with it by having anything like a like I've suggested before. I found when I was doing the research for glutathione, you don't want to have something that's in your body that makes glutathione, which the N-acetyl cysteine does. It's a precursor. And I told you at the time, I couldn't find anywhere local that we even had it. It looks like that was kind of cut off from the market from us. Maybe some of you could have got it. I don't do the mail, so I don't look at it that way. But the N-acetyl cysteine and quercetin are all these things you're not supposed to take when you do these tests. And when you look at the N-acetyl cysteine, it's the precursor to glutathione. And I told you be careful of just taking glutathione. We talked about this. I just want to point out, it all comes up. And it comes up and keeps coming up as being obstructive to the fraud. That's why I keep bringing it up to show you there's a method to all this. And if you can see it, you can watch pretty quickly how to deal with, well, on the, at least give yourself a position and foundation to come from if we're faced with that. And if there's more, then you're already stepped up to the point where your body's better situated. That if you can... if you just take glutathione, your body doesn't assimilate that as the glutathione molecule through your digestive system very well. The studies I've found says it's only a few percent. And so that's when I look at precursors. I look at, what's the name of those things? I hate when I do this. I just missed the point. Adaptogens, in herbs, where your body is given smaller doses over longer time for it to adjust itself and give itself the tools, the building blocks to make other things. N-acetylcysteine is one of those things to be able to bypass in through the digestive system, get into your system, and the body will make glutathione at higher levels. Now, there's a whole other thing behind that. You want to fortify different systems, but this is the point. We're fortifying our immune system to be able to do what? Either have the stuff to break down the synthetic, we'll call it venom, or to block the receptors that the venom is looking to hook up to. Two different ways to defeat this thing. And any of this is the interesting point. Any of this. And then remember, we have the ability for the hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin in the early stages, because the body does a biological switch and flip where it can't work. It goes into a different mode where hydroxychloroquine can take care of it. They also do, they go after the system of parasites. So there's a whole other thing sitting in there. But anyway, so I wanted to bring up that with all this stuff they tell you in this test, they're telling you all the stuff that they don't want you to take because it throws the test off, are the things that your body uses in order to stop just all infection in a way, all these viral things, if they're actually real. Even now we find synthetic, if your body responds in a certain way to a venom, go look at those. It doesn't have to be just a snake venom. It could be, how does your body respond? Well, not very well, but there's certain things that you can minimize. Anti-venoms are an interesting thing to go look at. What are they doing? Is the kind of thing you're looking at fortifying your body with. As we see, moving on, continuing, and moving this thing into the other sphere, it expands the story of the global attack and the U.S. military doing it. U.S. Department of Defense awarded a contract for COVID-19 research, in quotes, in Ukraine 3 months before COVID was known to even exist. But we can then see, again, as I told you, years coming 2 years out, we're going to start seeing more and more of the story. Things that we can see, I've talked about all these bio labs and this and that. And this is that thing. This is where the United States, the Title 50 runs rampant through all this so-called COVID-19. Research before most of us were even thinking about it. I didn't even see this before that. I was looking at medical martial law because that was the next iteration that was in the books, but I didn't know specifically. So I'm not going to, like I said, I don't like to say I can tell the future because I can't. I can just see we're talking about Salenti and trends. I can see the trends. It's all written what they're doing. But I don't have the omni vision to see all that's going on under the covers of covert actions. I can just tell you the generality, which I told you December 31st, 1999, here it comes, the biological, the worst thing that a societies can face, a medical imperative, and though fraudulently. And then we saw, and I was looking at the flu influenza being used at the time, I told you that for those reports, and then this thing came out, and I was right ahead of it, just barely ahead of it to explain, here it comes, what it was, and then March. So 3 months before they said COVID-19, we're actually, the U.S. Department is investing in Ukraine. In the news today, right? Ongoing. And so I don't know much more to say than to point out all this was before. All this was in the military. Title 50 is present. It's what they're trying to do when these, trying to show now that envenomation has some benefit. Oh, they can treat AIDS. Oh, they can treat, oh, now they can use these, this very same jab to treat, snake bite. And in fact, it is a snake bite, synthetically made. And the whole thing about the government is to give you snake venom in different forms. Remdesivir looks like to be one of them. Again, more of the tale being told about what's going on, why Ukraine is part of the problem. It's part of the horrendous, what do you call it, genocide. It meets the definition under international law for genocide, what's going on to people. Doesn't have to be one people, just all people at different levels. And then we move into someone, and I just took a little bit of an issue here with Steve Kirk's newsletter. These people deserve the credit for the deaths of nearly a million Americans. And he has a little bitty chart, Roy M. Gulick, H. Clifford Lane, and Henry Masur. And I think that that's not big enough. I suppose we can say those three. But I said, and I responded in Twitter, and I don't remember exactly, but paraphrased back to Blacklisted News, not only them, but as well, all and every jurisdiction of public health, an executive official that never identified a non-fraudulent infectious agent and imposed all of these measures without objective basis. Every one of them. And that's global. Not one jurisdiction did that. And so it's not just these three. We could focus on them. We could focus on Fauci. But every one of your public health officials had the power to stop a chemical weapons attack against you. They had the power to stop, if I'm wrong, if it doesn't, the proteins aren't venom, as a couple of other people are now identifying. If they aren't a chemical weapon, and they do have a biological source, each one of those jurisdictions had the power to stop this harm against us. And we tend to lose that fact, and it's something I want to keep focusing on for as much as I can, I suppose. A lot of this will just, it loses its value to people. You just keep taking on the burden, the millstone around your neck until you're drowned. And we just say, oh, we shrug our shoulders, oh, there's nothing we could do. And maybe that's why a lot of people don't listen to me. I'm telling you, you have something you could do. We all have our decisions to make, and everyone has their different skill that puts them in different places, so we don't know where you, each one of us might fit and how each one, if we might work together or not. But certainly standing by twiddling our thumbs on things as clearly identifiable and provable as the society being attacked by a chemical weapon that is coming under the color of a vaccine, that should be one of the things we should be able to, I'm going to say it, Vince, easily, although, you know, we do have that little problem with that real short pronouncement, easily, right? But easily get to, very clearly, black and white, no opinions, no questions, No fancy dialogue, no special statements, no legalese, unless you think objective basis is legalese, it's really not. We get, this whole thing gets put underneath, again, this dialogue with the Steve Kirch says, focusing on three people. It's not. It's every official that didn't stop it. They aided and abetted this thing. What, that my opinion? No, I looked at the law. Every one of those people, those officials, had the duty. And they failed. So you have bribe as a cause or breach. Take your pick. And I think that's what I told Celinda. Go check out on him. He won't. Much as I like him. I like his forthrightness. I guess you get cloistered in your own self-importance about how much you see and know and predict. And this was predictable, but it was also a demand upon society, people of society, to stop. And we failed at this point. And I have to say, I guess one of the Stu Peter things at the very end, I got enthralled a little bit. I don't have time to go through it. I think his name was James. Was it James Taylor? Anyway, excuse me for not having his name. One of the Stu Peter's videos in the past. Apparently, there's someone in Utah that's bringing a federal lawsuit, and they're so much closer to getting the right discussion relative to what I've been saying and challenging the existence of this infectious agent. They're very close to it. They're to the point where the discussion was that they suffered a motion to dismiss, which is expected. They answered to it. They're waiting now for the decision from the federal court. The case has a lot less problems than any other attorney that I've noticed. They have no attorneys on this, so it'll be the state answered with its attorney general in the way that they do to cause the evasion of their duty to respond, which the rules seemingly allow. I think he may have caught it. I don't know. They don't exactly state what I state, which I would feel more comfortable that they would state, but understand there's a case over there in the Stu Peters, one of the guys who's suing in Utah to try and stop it. He's a whole lot closer onto the point of challenging that there was nothing demonstrated and can't be demonstrated. And the government came back just perfectly the way they would if they were in invasion. And so we'll see. Let's watch that. Keep your eyes out for that one. I haven't had time to go and look at it. And so we'll see. I was just, again, 2 years out. Finally, people are starting to come around a lot closer. But it's not the attorneys. It's not the Bar Association. It's not the courts. It's not the executive. It's certainly not the lawmakers. I mean, our heads up for all that was watching Rand Paul mess around with the Fauci and let him get on the record that they have a beneficial use, giving them time to go look around and just make claims. Oh, now these gene therapies can actually treat the other crisis we had during so-called COVID, which is snake bites across the world. When in fact, they're snake bites, if you will, if you please. And we watch this being cover to the attack upon all society, in particular now kind of moving into what our future looks like is happening, and we see a real problem out there as our society gets thrown down into where they want us to be, where it gets us into austerity and prosperity, which is the sharing of debt. Understand, that's Agenda 2030 sets right into it. And as I look over at the redneck Dennis in the chat, snake oil for snake bites. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. But getting back over here to transitioning into the economy, which the COVID was stated to be the policy to drive the economy through the IMF. Lagarde said that this COVID would drive it. We're all connected here. It is all connected. Yes, in certain ways, and can be, and you need to see how this works. We look now to what we might have as problems. China port congestion leaves everything from grains to metals stranded. This could be another, I told you, economic attack where China purposely does not manage this congestion so that we don't get the grains and metals that we need. No, anything does not get into the pipeline. We've talked about this. It almost looked like the longshoremen were involved. All of a sudden that fell from, funny I mentioned that, and after that problem sort of fell from the wayside. But it also, I think I just heard also that the rails are now not going to transport fertilizers or agricultural products. The rail company in the United States is not going to do that. If you don't understand that this is an all-out attack on us and that they're using corporations to do it for whatever reason, I don't know how that would make any sense. That's not for me to make sense. It's nonsense. But the corporate port congestion leaves everything from grains to metals stranded. I don't know if that's a plan. It sure looks like it. We certainly aren't getting the military on our side to cause more organization. No, we allow the rail system to now stop transporting certain things that we need. We're not doing fertilizer right at planting time. Is an interesting thing. And with all this, attacking us, really, going right after our economy, as we said, COVID was going to be used to attack. It's a policy thing that they're going to use to attack our economy. our economy is going down. China's a part of it. We also see, even tongue-in-cheek, an interesting problem that we now see the frivolousness of COVID generally, if it is a thing, a biological thing, that Lukashenko, Belarus, made a comment and told Putin, war is war, but you stopped all viruses in the world. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko said that he told the Russian President Vladimir Putin that he had stopped all the crown viruses in the world. And even tongue-in-cheek, this is a very interesting statement, because Russia made its own vaccine, didn't it? And tongue-in-cheek, they have to acknowledge, in fact, there is no virus. We know there's no virus. The crown viruses, the coronavirus, that's just the common cold. That means that Russia is in on this. Because it did, like a light switch, went away. The news cycle just dropped it in favor of what Russia did. And I've told you, look underneath the skin of that. You're watching the New World Order, the Neo World Order, stepping forward right underneath the skin of this. I found this statement fascinating because it puts it's a joke in a way, but it's a truth. And then it shows an acknowledgement in the government about how fast this could have gone away. It did seemingly go away. They aren't fighting it. And since no one is actually fighting it, it never really did exist. And they laugh about that. So take note of that. I don't know what more to say, how much importance people will put on that. But I found that fascinating. Yes, it's all shut down. Nothing really about COVID as it continues. As the FDA agrees that the only protocol is to put a different style of snake venom in your little ones. In children now, you got to go read it. And that they'll test you on a breathalyzer to get you there and use remdesivir as the sole treatment for something they've never identified. And the CDC has no control or authority or jurisdiction over any of it. Is what I hope you pick up when I said you go to your state law. It's between you and the doctor, and then the public official is on the step out that they have to justify. And if you haven't followed the due process and the legislature has demanded in COVID, in matters of communicable disease, you are watching a dereliction of duty and irreparable harm to anyone under the name of a communicable disease of any nature. And we keep on moving through the Putin ending the COVID. Now it's all about him. Putin done it. Again, I just don't even know what to think about some of this, but we keep moving. We just watch how this thing rolls out, how the deception works, how the hypocrisy works in the world. Understand it's right in your town. You're being affected by it. And until we get a handle on that, I don't see how this thing ends and we don't get worse and worse into it. But scandal, document surface, Putin was right. What was it right about? We're talking about this condition, but it seems to be kind of odd how the United States is supporting what seems to be a Zionist organization in Ukraine put in 2014 that declares itself to have neo-Nazis, and that term is contended with, but not actually denied, neo-Nazis protecting it. The interesting dynamic here is just mind-boggling. That the Canadian government trained the neo-Nazis in Canada, Kanukistan, the Canadian Kanukistan Ministry of Defense, did training, but deny that they knew or that it was important that they were training Nazis. Now, this is just National Socialists, and Putin has said they are the same fascists that we destroyed in Hitler's time. How is it that Kanukistan is training Hitleristic troops to defend Ukraine? How is it these Western governments are championing something they claim to defeat in Hitler? Why is there such a denial on this? Well, I think we can see what the denial would be. But what caused me to even look at that was I saw on a it's a telegram I have to move from Twitter to Telegram. I'm not in it as someone who's a member. I just look at what they offer me, what limited view I have through a browser. They were showing someone that was an American serviceman that was killed in Donbass. And I assume this is the Russian government showing the passport of the gentleman, the serviceman. You can find the link on the broadcast. I won't name him. And it caused me to think, what is American special operations servicemen doing in Donbass, dying in protection of a regime that, whose idol, if you will, is Nazism, is Hitlerism, the thing we are claiming to have destroyed? What are our service people? And I'm really a little bit out of it because I've never been a service people. I tried, they wouldn't have me. It wasn't because I wasn't capable, just certain things. I was too old, there wasn't going to be a war, they didn't need anybody. Vietnam was in, whatever. The too old one was amazing to me. But anyway, what is a serviceman of the United States dying under as a special operations guy for a Nazi regime? Struck me deep somehow and for some reason. Why do I look at a picture of a dead man who is special operations and he dies in Donbass, a place we're supposed to have nothing, no interest in, can't be NATO, can't be anything there, can't be but a buffer, can't be a biological extension of biological labs, not supposed to be any of this, can't be the EU. What did we lose a serviceman for there? A special opera, especially trained guy. Why does he die there? What are we doing? What are we as a nation? I know what they're doing there. I'm talking about what's the legitimate reason that we're doing there. Cannot be found. I don't see any proper reason to be fortifying a regime that is something that for all my life has been condemned, that people in World War II died over to see it being promoted today by the United States government. All your grandfathers died D-Day and whatever else they were over this, the thing that's being promoted by the very same government. And I look right here and I see another serviceman die in a place he's not supposed to be if we're doing legitimate things. And I just don't know more than to ask, what did he die for? And are you okay with that? And what he died for, and I don't know, I want people to watch that, look at this, because it's graphic, it's terrible. And it struck me deep as well. And I know war is hell and all that, but I've got another Telegram link to what these people, that serviceman died for. The United States serviceman died to protect some people that did the next thing to the Russian soldiers. And maybe you don't have to go look, but I'll just briefly describe the 6 or 8 servicemen that were captured in an ambush, that were, their throats were slit on the road, and at least one is gasping for the air coming through his esophagus, and is shot multiple times in the body and the head while he's dying by one of these Nazis that the United States servicemen died for to protect in Ukraine. Is not making any sense to me whatsoever. And I only put these together, I didn't even want to show the graphicness. This is just disgusting. It just really shows you there's just no hope at some level. And yet it's not, it's all lost either. But that this is what our servicemen died for? Someone's going to have to explain this to me a little better. Because I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I see the contrary. And I want to know where the servicemen are. How do you put up with this? This is the problem I'm seeing about, it's not just the war that's so obvious. It's the war against us that we all are silent against, whether we name it COVID, climate change, whatever. I mean, what names do we put on it? What other, poverty, drugs? Man, I don't know. I just don't know what more to say. We keep watching this atrocity. Even these people dying on the street, they had no, on the road. Okay, it's war. I get that. Have your throat cut and shot? On camera? Did the camera matter? And the denial? And then we lose one of our service guys if I'm supposed to have any help, thought and empathy for our own guys? What's going on here? What are we supporting? How blind are we? How dumb are we as a society? How unpeaceful are we as a society? I mean, it's really bleak. We're moving on back now from that. Why the vaccinated are much more likely to support a no-fly zone in Ukraine. Not so detached, right? Why the vaccinated, the war, the biolabs, why are the vaccinated much more likely to support a no-fly zone? With a graph shows that the more jabs you have, the more likely you'll be complicit with the government's needs and demands as they tell you. If you want to see an evidence of partial evidence of hive mind by venom injection, this might be the analysis that we can look at to show that this is one of the other coincident consequences is a loss of will, I guess I'll say it that way, based in a demonstrable increase in contact with what's promoted as a vaccination under an infectious agent, which I'm telling you is really more a chemical weapon, which can be seen to be an analog to venoms, the particular effects of which are everything you see as a side effect in venoms. Not just one, not just from a snake necessarily, but multiple ones. In the last count in the vaccines, there could be 19, the worst ones. And they don't have to kill everybody. This is set up to put you in servitude to a medical victimization. So, we have now, if you're vaccinated, you're much more likely to support anything the government says. It happened to be focused on a no-fly zone, which would require the United States to jump in and essentially be directly in engagement with Russia, which people have said would be World War III. World Bank considers massive loan to Ukraine. But I forgot to tell you last week on this, but that the massive loans are being put on Ukraine as Russia may be taking on Ukraine. And I'd like to see where they've now shut down the ability for Russia to pay by being a plunderer of the assets of Russia. What they think they're going to put on the future that they're dumping into Ukraine right now as a ledger obligation on people. The UN-affiliated lender says $1.5 billion support package is awaiting approval. The World Bank's president, David Malpass, said on Tuesday the lender is preparing $1.5 billion support package for war-torn Ukraine. The loan will include a $1 billion payment from the Development Lenders Fund for the poorest countries. And we heard last week Bojo is guaranteeing this on a country that looks like it can't defend itself. Boy, what game is going on here? In the Rothschilds of the world control, so it just boggles the mind. It's certainly going to be, they're planning on this, something here. Russia doesn't, knows it's involved. As we also now move into how they're going to move into the World Bank, we talked about the IMS being involved. We talked about all this money being put in, and they're converting themselves over to a digital currency. UK's Sunak asks Royal Mint to create an NANTF, they got NFT, a non-fungible token, to be issued by summer. If you didn't think this thing was moving fast. British Finance Minister Rishi Sunak has asked Royal Mint to create a non-fungible token, which is to be issued by the summer. The Treasury said on Monday, adding it was part of a forward-looking approach toward crypto assets. Remember, they're securities, not coins. UK big another emailer sent this in conjunction. It makes a better, maybe more coherent statement. That's why I'm including it more than what that notice to us was last week that I didn't get to say. I will say this one this week. UK's big crypto push includes minting its own NFT. These are non-fungible digital tokens on blockchain. This is by the government. It says this is not about economics. It's for the moral good apparently Musk says. But, at any rate, maybe that's a different story. The UK's top regulator has been cracking the whip on crypto companies, but the government just sent a strong message of its own blockchain game plan. The British are coming. The British are coming, folks. And it says it, as I said, they're coming down on the companies, but the governments will have their own. People are saying that's going to fail. I'm not so sure. And I won't read the story more. This is what's coming on. The governments are coming quick relative to what they call crypto assets on blockchain, where everyone denied that they would be doing it, and they denied they're doing it. They're doing it. It's coming by summer on this one NFT. There's others. We talked about Kanukistan's doing it. MIT's helping them. China's done it. I mean, these companies are coming along. The countries are coming along. And then we find this interesting little story. Nike wants to destroy unauthorized NFTs. How will that work? Very interesting insight. How would they destroy it if it's on a blockchain? You watch. You watch how this thing works. I find it interesting Nike's doing this right now. They're testing the legal waters on how they, in fact, would break the chains. The governments are going to do this. The NFTs the governments own will be able to do this. If you think the chain is unbreakable, they're going to make legal precedent to break the chain and get your stuff. Remove you from it if you thought you needed to be in it. So read this story, because I think this is a heads up coming on how they're going to work out what the law will allow for all this certainty in the blockchain. It's proof to be able to be amended and changed, and in my view, having people without a social credit to be excised out, attached. Nike not wanting their property to be NFTs and to remove them from the blockchain is no different than a government saying your value, your non-fungible token is now gone. You're banned. And so keep using your phones, keep getting into that, and then don't make your alternative world that you not making a new one, just go back to the old one that you were supposed to keep. Deception, exploited workers, and cash handouts, how WorldCoin recruited its first 500,000 test users by allowing them to give you a wallet, they give you some tokens as a payment, a bribe, to get your irises, to bring you into the biometric fold. And people are doing it. Well, what's free cash, right? Oh, we're just testing it because it sounds interesting. All the people and excuses that people use to bring themselves into servitude are fascinating to me. I don't know what more to say. I've been talking about this problem for years. People deny it. They criticize it, but it's happening. As the U.S. withdraws from cybersecurity dialogue with Moscow. Why? This just shows me we're going to be outlaws. There's not going to be a consistent security, because they don't want it. They can't do it, because ultimately they got too many backdoors and insecurity. They say food security, they say housing security, digital security. It's non-existent. That's the form of the warm and fuzzy to tell you they want at you, because they are planning to take your assets, and they're proving that, where the U.S. is not planning to return the seized Russian assets for any reason to plunder. That could be your account, you, your life, and everything else. Hope something I said today exposed something to you you can use, and go out there and defend yourself. Set up your records. I'll be with you next week. Tech Biffs for Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.